If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, and to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't you love that verse? While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things that you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority, and do not let anyone despise you. If you'll flip over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And I want to reread a verse that we read last week, Matthew 6:19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Hallelujah. Let's join in prayer as we pray for God to bless this message this morning. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word, Lord God, that just illuminates our path so that we can follow you into eternity. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the blessed hope that we have in you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll take this simple message today, and Lord, that you'll anoint the words. Lord, that you'll anoint the story. Lord, that you'll use it to build your kingdom. I pray that you'll touch each and every one in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I spoke to you about choosing your way or the highway. And we talked about the highway was being God's way. To live, we want to do it God's way. We want to choose the highway. And God's highway will lead us into heaven. Amen? Now, how many here want to go to heaven? Yeah. How many here are looking forward to going to heaven? How many of y'all ready to go right now? Take her, put her out of her misery. We all want to go to heaven. We're all looking forward to going to heaven, but, you know, to be honest, none of us are probably really wanting to go right now. We still have things we want to do. She's ready to go now. There's nothing else you want to see. Nothing else. Oh, I can't say that. I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing that we can long to be with Jesus in heaven, but at the same time, we want to long to live and be alive on this earth. And I think Paul felt the same way. You know, that's how Paul felt. He longed to see Jesus. He longed to be with his Savior, but he also knew that he had so much to do, that he had so much more he wanted to accomplish while he was on this earth. And I think God puts that dual desire in all of us, or maybe I should say most of us. A few of you want to go now, but most of us still have things we want to do and accomplish for the kingdom. I want to see Jesus, but at the same time, I want to stay alive and live here as long as possible to experience all that he has for me on this earth, and that I can accomplish all that he wants me to accomplish. But there is coming a day when we will all pass away. There is coming a day when we will all leave this earth. We will all die. There's a disease that kills every one of us. There's a disease that will take each one of us out. And that disease is the disease of mortality. The disease of mortality. The mortality rate is 100%. No one cheats mortality. No one cheats the grave, because mortality takes our life. And there is coming a day when the trumpet sounds, that those who have died in Christ will be raised up into the heavens. And on that day when that trumpet sounds, all who are still alive at that time will be taken up into the sky to be with Christ Jesus. And so shall we be with the Lord. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." And my friends, on that day when that trumpet sounds, there's going to be a great family reunion. Amen. There's going to be a reunion like we've never seen before. Now, I want to tell you, yesterday the Beyer family celebrated a great family reunion. We had family from far and wide come and gather with us here in the back of the church. And we had a wonderful afternoon. I met cousins, nephews, nieces. I met people I don't ever, probably never will remember all their names. We had them from Connecticut. Are y'all Connecticut? Yeah. Amen. Give them a hand, and that's my cousin. On the Geraci side, amen. Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Oklahoma. I can't remember. Oh, Wisconsin, Florida. And I can't remember, but from all over. North Carolina, yeah. South Carolina. From New Orleans to Chicago. We had them everywhere and everywhere in between. And we had a wonderful time. Probably close to 150 people at our reunion. And you know, one thing that really excited me about the reunion was to see how many in our family love the Lord and live for the Lord. Praise God that so many have decided to choose that highway and take the highway. But the truth of the matter is, it wasn't always that way. Wasn't always that way. Back in the late 1920s, in the city of New Orleans on Tonti Street, there was a poor family with 10 kids by the name of Byer. There was Henry, Lovey, Deucey, Beanie, Bootsy, Willie, Rosie. Don't ask me why they got all these crazy French names. Joe, Little T, and Cherry. 10 poor little kids in the city of New Orleans. The father was pretty much an alcoholic and a gambler. And the poor little mom, Grandma Byer, did her best to make ends meet to provide for her children. They had very little earthly possessions. Matter of fact, they were so poor, they didn't even own a baseball and a bat. They had to make up their own game. And they made up a game called stickball. Or paperball. I don't know what y'all called it. Paperball. So poor were they that they would take an old broom and cut the end of the broom off and take the stick. So poor were they would take a sheet of newspaper and they would fold it up into a small column, and then they would roll it as tightly as they could and put rubber bands on it, and they would make a paper ball. And they would play in the streets of New Orleans. How many here has ever played paper ball? Uncle Milton's played paperball. Benny's played paperball. Charlie's played. Wow. Bob, man, I'm impressed. Well, hey, I want to make a motion that we get up a paperball game, not today, but one Sunday afternoon. And we're going to play paperball. It's the greatest game, especially for old people like me. Because what I like about paperball, you don't have to run. You take the paper balls and you get an old milk jug or a bleach jug and you cut a hole in the top and you got the handle there and you fill it full of your paper balls. Probably you need 50 or 60 paper balls. Then you have teams and you have a pitcher and he pitches it. And the person with the stick hits it. And depending on how far it goes, depends if it's a base hit or a double, a triple, or a home run. Is that right, Benny? So you don't have to run. And I forgot how many strikes you get, but you don't get very many strikes at the paper ball. And some of them spin it like I did, and some of them tumble it end over end, and some of them do all kind of what we call Gregory on it, you know, making it spin and do all kind of crazy things. And I missed that yesterday. We didn't get a paper ball game together. So, Uncle Vince, next time we got to get paper ball game together. But we had a wonderful time. And street ball was what they played because they were so poor. They were a religious family. Mom Byer would pray to the saints, and she would light candles in her home and burn candles to the saints. But they did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The story goes on that as the kids grew up into adulthood, that the oldest boy, Henry, came across a little small Bible. And he began to read it. Perhaps it was a little Gideon Bible that we're so familiar with. Perhaps it was a little small Bible given to one of the kids when they went to the Lutheran school for a short period of time. No one seems to know or remember where it came from or who gave it to them or who left it at their house. It was New Year's Eve, 1937. New Year's Eve, 1937, and Henry prepared to go to a party to celebrate the new year. on his way to the party, he suddenly felt something strange come over him. He felt like he couldn't go another step. And he began to weep and he began to cry. And he turned around and went back to his home on Tanti Street. He climbed the stairs to the upstairs bedroom that was his room. And there he found his little Bible. And weeping and crying, kneeling by his bed, he began to read the little Bible once again. Once again. And he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. Suddenly he was aware of the bells ringing, the whistles blowing, the fireworks exploding outside his bedroom as the world celebrated the new year. And as the world celebrated the beginning of a new year, Henry quietly celebrated in his room the beginning of a new life in Christ. Behold, the old things had passed away. Behold, all things had become new. Over the years that followed, Henry grew in the Lord and became a strong follower in the Lord. He joined the Salvation Army. He became a pastor of the Nazarene Church. And one by one, Henry led his brothers and his sisters and his mother to the Lord. All of them at one time served the Lord. And though some may have fell away after a period of time, most continued to serve the Lord throughout their entire life and set good examples for their children to follow. Many of them joined the Salvation Army. Matter of fact, my dad joined the Salvation Army and Uncle Henry bought him his first baritone the night he gave his heart to the Lord. When my dad went to a little revival, Uncle Henry was there, and my dad gave his heart to the Lord. And the next day, Uncle Henry took him and bought him a baritone, and he's been tooting it ever since. And he takes it with me to the nursing home, and we toot it at the nursing home. Amen? Amen. It's been awesome. All because of one little Bible that someone gave one young man. One little Bible. My dad, Ted, or as they call him, Cherry, Uncle Cherry, who was the youngest child in that family and is the only child still living today, chose to follow the Lord as well. And I'm really glad that he did. He gave his life and his heart to the Lord at age 15, almost 16. On November 1939. He joined the Salvation Army shortly after graduating from high school, and while in the Salvation Army, he felt the call of God on his life to do more, and so he went to Springfield, Missouri to CBC Bible College in 1945. Graduated from college in 1949. And around that time, he met a beautiful young lady, my mama, at a church meeting in Beatrice, Nebraska. They were married after only knowing each other about 6 months. And they were married on July 8th, 1949. And together they followed the Lord for the past 56 years. And they have been examples, yes. They've been a great example for me and my brothers and my sisters to follow, all because of one small Bible placed in the hands of one young man. It was great hearing all these old stories of days gone by, and I think that more families ought to have more family reunions, and we talked about maybe doing it again in 2 or 3 years, and boy, I'm looking forward to it already. Why are they so important? Because they help us to remember who we are and where we come from and what's really important, like family and friends and the food and the fun and the fellowship and all the memories. But you know, as much as I loved the reunion yesterday, I'm looking forward to another reunion. And this will be the greatest reunion ever was. The great reunion in the sky. And this is the day that we're all looking forward to. Amen. This is the day when we will be reunited with all of those who've gone on before us. This is the reunion where we will join all of our loved ones and all who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This will be a reunion for all who have chosen to take the highway. And I'm looking forward to meeting whoever it was that gave that little Bible to my uncle so I can tell him thank you. Thank you. Won't they be surprised at how many lives were touched and changed because of that one little act of love? A simple act of love of giving someone a Bible. I can't wait to see some who've been a tremendous blessing in my life. I can't wait to see my two grandmothers and many of my aunts and my uncles and some of my cousins. And I can't wait to see some of the dear old saints who taught me in Sunday school. Dear old Sister McDonald, old brother Wellman, and especially old brother Dillion. I love brother Dillion. He was a little Filipino man. And I would sit next to him as a little kid, and the louder I would sing, the more he would poke quarters in my pocket. He didn't know it, but he was teaching me to worship the Lord and to worship loud, to sing it loud, sing it unto Jesus. Can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see all the dear old saints that I've known over the years. I can't wait to meet all my family and all my friends who've beat me to heaven. I can't wait to see Uncle Henry to make sure I got the story right about the family, of how the little Bible was instrumental in leading us to know Jesus. He'll be able to straighten me out. And I can't wait to see you there. I can't wait to see each and every one of you there. And I was just wondering, how many have you invited to our family reunion? I was just wondering, how many little maps or Bibles have you given instructions how to get to the reunion? I was just wondering, will your family be coming with you to the reunion? I was just wondering, are we doing all we can do as God's family to promote the reunion? I was just wondering, what else could we do to help people in our community choose to attend our family reunion? I was just wondering, will someone be at the reunion because of you? I was just wondering, will I see you at the reunion? 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Today, my friends, my church family, I want to encourage you. One day we will join the greatest reunion that has ever been. One day we'll be able to see that all of our labor has not been in vain. One day we will be able to know and see and do things, and we'll realize what all has been accomplished for the kingdom of God. And I know at times it gets discouraging. I know at times it seems like we're losing ground instead of gaining ground. And I just wonder, the person that gave that little Bible, but I bet there was times when they were discouraged. They never saw anyone come to know the Lord. Little did they realize how many people in the Beyer family would become Christians. Little did they realize how many would become ministers of the gospel and how many would become involved in ministry, children's ministry, youth ministry, building church buildings, doing all they could do for the kingdom. At times we feel overwhelmed at the task at hand, but so much more is to be done. We got to stand firm. We got to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. So much to do. So little time in which to do it. But I want to encourage you today not to give up witnessing to your family and friends. Don't quit handing out little Bibles. Matter of fact, I have another 4,000 ordered. They'll be here this week, next week. Make sure you take them. Give them away. Give them away. Remember, your labor is not in vain. Let's keep inviting everyone we know to the greatest reunion that's ever going to be. Who are you looking forward to seeing when you get to heaven? Will you be invited to attend this reunion? I read a little story the other day about a lady who was invited to sing at a big wedding. So she went, her and her husband went to the wedding, and they sang. She sang beautifully. And immediately following the wedding, there was to be a big banquet, a big reception, a wedding reception by invitation only. By invitation only. She and her husband arrived at the door of the reception hall, and she quickly gave her name to the door attendant, only to be told that her name was not on the guest list. She could not come in. Oh, she was so upset. "What do you mean?" she cried. "I was the soloist at the wedding. I was in the wedding party. I took part in the wedding. What do you mean I can't come in?" He said, "I'm sorry. Your name is not on the invitation. It's not on the register." And then it dawned on her. She had forgot to send in the little RSVP card. She had forgot. And she was not invited into the celebration. She had assumed that she would automatically be included. After all, she was in the wedding party. Her and her husband went home very disappointed, and they missed out on the reception, and it was no fault, no one's fault but her own. Yes, there's many family and friends that I'm looking forward to seeing. And who knows, when we get up there, we may even play a little paper ball. But you know, most of all, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please stand with me this morning. Esther, if you'd come to the keyboard. If every head bowed and every eye closed. If the prayer team would come forward, please. I want to ask you three questions this morning. Number one, will you be welcomed at the reunion? Have you sent in your RSVP? You can know that you will be invited. And you can know that you'll be welcomed by asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life, just like my Uncle Henry did many, many years ago. on that New Year's Eve, you too can start a new beginning. Second question, are you doing your part to invite and bring others with you to our family reunion? You can, by being a witness, by giving out tracts and giving out Bibles and just telling and sharing what Jesus has done for you. Who knows what will happen? Perhaps one young man will give his heart to the Lord and influence hundreds, perhaps thousands, to follow Jesus. Number three, are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? There's nothing that can ever compare to what our experience will be on that day when we stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This is one reunion. This is one family reunion you don't want to miss. Today, if you would like to start a new beginning by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and life, I'm going to ask you to simply slip up your hand. Say, Pastor Johnny, pray for me. I want to start a new beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's your cry, that's your prayer, slip up your hand. By slipping up your hand, you're not joining this church. You're simply joining a new family, the family of God. If that's your desire, please slip up your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Perhaps you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, but you've been slack in inviting others to the family reunion. And today you'll say with me, I will do my best to do better. I realize that the trumpet could sound at any moment, and I want to see as many as possible invited to the great family reunion. If that's your cry, lift your hand. All over this auditorium, yes, I promise before God to do more. God, forgive me for being slack, and give me strength and give me courage to be bold for you. If that's your prayer, raise your hand all over this building. And lastly, perhaps you have a need this morning. You need God to touch you and heal you. You need a miracle. You need a miracle in your body. You need a miracle in your home. You need a miracle in your finances. You need a miracle in your marriage. You need a miracle for something today. And if that's your cry, would you raise your hand this morning? Yes, all over this building. All over this building, hands have been raised. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing this morning. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. If you've raised your hand this morning for a new beginning, or you've raised your hand recommitting that you're going to do more for the Lord and do a better job for the Lord, if you've raised your hand that you're in need of a miracle, I'm asking you to take a step of faith and step out of where you're standing right now and come join me at these altars. If you've raised your hand this morning, I'm encouraging you to come so we can pray with you this morning. Please come.